Happy Friday, everyone. Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Fantasy Force Podcast. Today I'm going to be talking a little AFC North action. Let's get it! I think that's my new favorite song of all time. Everybody knows that it was by Kay Nice. You can go follow him on Twitter at Bobby_Johnson Jr. It's not a joke. I'm pretty sure that's my favorite song of all time now. So I just said we're going to be talking a little AFC North action. Like always, we're just going to jump right into it. We're going to start with the former Super Bowl champion, Baltimore Ravens. I'm going to do the same thing we did last week, going three questions that every fantasy football player has for each specific team. With the Ravens, the first one we got is, will Joe Flacco finally be fantasy relevant? So we know the Ravens added Steve Smith in the offseason once he was cut by the Carolina Panthers. We all know how angry he was to be cut. We know he's looking to have a huge season in Baltimore, maybe bring him back into the playoffs and, you know, make another Super Bowl run, hopefully. But when we look at Flacco individually, he was our 19th quarterback. He only threw for that many touchdowns, 19. He actually had 22 interceptions this last season. Just to kind of play around with the statistics a little bit, if Joe Flacco throws zero interceptions, he'd be behind Matt Ryan and you know, other quarterbacks that you know, seem to have down seasons. If Joe Flacco tossed zero interceptions, he's still behind Matt Ryan in fantasy points. That's just going to show you he's not doing a whole lot yardage-wise for you. It seems like the entire Ravens offense was a little bit of a disappointment this past season outside of Torrey Smith, but certainly any fantasy football owner who drafted Ray Rice in the first round, you know, they had to be incredibly disappointed with his performance. Flacco, you know, he's not justifying that gigantic contract he got. You know, we're going to see whether or not Steve Smith will really, you know, return to any sort of relevance for the fantasy community out there. I still wouldn't have him anything above a flex this next season. But for Joe Flacco, even if you're in a two quarterback league, again, 19th, he was kind of the almost the worst you could do out of your, you know, QB2. I'd still be grabbing another person with upside. Geno Smith, who finished 20th, I'd rather have him this season. I'd take, you know, a shot at one of these guys like, you know, Tannehill or Locker. And, you know, later when we get into draft strategy, I'm going to talk a lot about those younger quarterbacks who haven't seemed to live up to expectations yet in a certain type of draft strategy. But keeping it moving, focusing on the Ravens, I just mentioned Ray Rice. We're talking about Ray Rice, and he was a guy who used to have, you know, that kind of top five value. But this season, the biggest question is Ray Rice even worth owning? He's looking at anywhere from, you know, people estimate a 4 to 8 game suspension, probably 6 in the middle there is where it's going to land. There's been no official word handed down yet. We know Rice met with, you know, the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, earlier this week, and there was no ruling yet on the suspension. Harbaugh says he hasn't heard anything particular yet. So Ray Rice, is he worth owning? I don't think so. He did come into training camp looking a little bit, you know, slimmer, a little bit more agile. And they said there were some, you know, knee and or back or hip issues going on with Ray Rice. I can't see any scenario where I'm owning him. I'm not going to grab him in the middle of the season while he tries to shake off the rust for 3 weeks. He could be, you know, a little bit of a factor down the line, but I think I can do better out of a running back too. I don't know that he necessarily regains his form this season. Ray Rice, he is off my radar for this year. However, someone who is slowly climbing onto my radar, Dennis Pitta, third question I'm going to wrap up for the Ravens. Is Dennis Pitta a top 10 tight end? I kind of love stats in this case to help me out with Pitta. So this is from Pro Football Focus. From 2010 to 2012, because I'm not really counting last season. He barely played. I think he was in about four or five games. He was serviceable for one or two of those. I do know that I picked him up in one of my leagues, and he was someone who came to disappoint in the playoffs. But getting back to the stats, so from Pro Football Focus, from 2010 to 2012, Pitta dropped only five of what they deemed were 148 catchable balls. So we know that Joe Flacco is going to be looking his way a lot. That's, you know, he averages at least 50 targets a season, you know, in that span, 148 over three. It's a little under 50. But if Pitt is not dropping a lot of these balls, Joe Flacco, you know, we know he likes to throw to him. We know he likes having that safety net. We know Pitta is, you know, an absolute receiving tight end. Unfortunately, he doesn't bring a lot to the running game for the Ravens. But if he's going to be out there on pass routes, you know, he's one of those guys, kind of like Jimmy Graham. He's going to work out of the tight end position. He's going to work out of the slot. He's going to get his looks. He's someone Flacco trusts. Is Pitta a top 10 tight end? I think he is. I think someone might jump the gun a little early on him. There's been a little talk. Pitt is saying he's regaining his form. He thinks he's going to have a major season upcoming. You know, certainly without Ray Rice, you think they're going to try and throw the ball a little more. Hopefully Pitt is, you know, part of that. I just don't think I'm grabbing him. Again, it's another one of those things. If I'm not grabbing Jimmy Graham, Vernon Davis, Julius Thomas, again, it's the top three, and it's really only Graham and everyone else. If I'm not grabbing one of those three tight ends, I'm waiting to be the last person to grab one. That usually sticks me with grabbing a Jordan Reed. I've been able to walk out with Eric Ebron in a couple of mocks. Martellus Bennett that I spoke about on the last pod was another person that, you know, I've been ending up with a lot. Pitt is just one of those guys. I think he'll produce. I think he'll be, you know, a pretty, you know, standard league, you know, consistent option from week to week. I don't think he's ever really going to blow you away, though. You know, 10 points, that's about what he's going to do. You know, I don't see him. He's not going to break off any games of 20 or 30. So, yeah, grab Pitta. If he's one of the last guys available when people are drafting, yeah, grab him. You're going to be happy with his production. You're never going to be blown away with it, but sometimes consistency is exactly what you need from the tight end position. So we're going to move on from the Ravens. We're going to bring it over to the Bengals. You know, everyone got acquainted with the Bengals because they were on Hard Knocks last season. It was certainly where my love of Giovanni Bernard started. You know, he was one of the main guys throughout the show because Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis was, you know, working his way back from injury. And I think one of the most underrated things about Hard Knocks was Hugh Jackson. You know, he has that big personality that's, you know, everywhere. And, you know, now he's the offensive coordinator now that Jay Gruden is gone. And that's going to really affect a lot of things. And it leads us into our first question for the Bengals. Can Andy Dalton succeed without Jay Gruden? I think Dalton is going to be, you know, okay this season. He's certainly not going to repeat what he did last season. Everyone knows last season he was the fifth ranked quarterback. He had 33 touchdowns. 33 touchdowns is not what people thought they were going to get from Andy Dalton. I can't lie. I drafted him in a couple of leagues because he had AJ Green and, you know, Marvin Jones was, you know, a few people in the fantasy community heard about him and you knew he was going to be someone who would contribute. And, you know, we all knew that Gruden was, you know, an offensive genius. I did not think Andy Dalton was going to finish fifth for me. I thought at best I was going to get, you know, a 10 or 11 out of him. It was one of those, you know, things last year where I waited on a quarterback and I just happened to get lucky in a couple of leagues. Dalton finished fifth for me. We know he has those head scratcher weeks where, you know, it looks like it's, you know, it's still his rookie season. He put together two great stretches, really helped out his owners. I just think, just like in Oakland, you know, Hugh Jackson's going to have a lot more of a kind of ground focused attack. I don't think that's going to play to Dalton's strengths too much because we know he likes running his wide receivers vertical as well. We know with Marvin Jones and AJ Green, that's going to be the, you know, the thing going on. And Dalton doesn't have that great of a, you know, a deep ball. So I think people are going to overdraft Andy Dalton. They're not going to get the return on their investment. I'm staying away from him again. You know, in a few weeks, I'll get into specific draft strategies and, you know, where you're going to end up with certain quarterbacks and We'll talk about all that. I just don't think Dalton is repeating his success this season. I think we're going to see the Andy Dalton that most people expected last year. Moving right along, one of the biggest kind of waves during the NFL draft was when the Bengals took Jeremy Hill. And, you know, people are starting to get nervous. They're saying, is Jeremy Hill going to hurt Giovanni Bernard's value? So a lot of people complained last season that Giovanni Bernard wasn't touching the ball enough, and they point to the fact that he only had 170 carries on the season compared to the law firm's 220. A more accurate picture of the offense is actually going to go by touches. Bernard caught the ball 56 times, giving him 226 touches. That was two more than the law firm finished with. He only caught an extra four balls. We know how much Jackson likes Giovanni Bernard. We know the skill that he has there. Everybody saw the run against the Dolphins. And, you know, there's been pieces coming out of Bernard talking to the press, and he says he's going to try and do things like that a little more, that he personally felt he was playing it safe with some of his runs last season. Running back, too, again, another thing with draft strategy. I haven't been ending up with Bernard too often. I've been opting for receivers or, you know, just another position. Anyone who drafts him, you know you're going to be happy with him. I still think he's going to be the focal point of the attack. Some people point to his size and say, you know, do they think he's going to carry the whole load? He's going to be fine. He's going to contribute. He even has a chance to crack into the top 10. You know, again, I'll look at my ranks, and I'll have those out pretty soon. Bernard is going to do solid for his fantasy owners. You don't have to worry about drafting him and, you know, whether or not Jeremy Hill is going to hurt him. Again, with these guys that, you know, they catch the ball, they have these big runs. They don't need to be on the field for every single play. And it actually helps them when they're off for a little bit because they get to come in after getting a little bit of a rest. Last thing we're going to talk about with the Bengals is, you know, what do we do with Marvin Jones? So we're, you know, we're looking at Jones, and Jones finished 22nd at wide receiver. He obviously had, you know, the huge week, the four touchdowns, week eight against, you know, some team that we're not going to mention. Might have been the Jets, but, you know, let's, you know, we can forget all about that. So week eight against whatever the team was, Jones put up 36 points. It was a huge chunk of his total for the year. Kind of like Doug Martin last season, where people said, oh, you know, all his value only came out of a certain amount of games. Do we really trust this production? Apparently Hugh Jackson trusted enough, because there's been a lot of talk that Jones is going to be the starting receiver across from AJ Green. You know, Mohamed Sanu has kind of been, I guess, a little bit of a disappointment. Jones, he's one of those guys. I think if he gets the opportunity to start, he could be a wide receiver too. I think it's a little more likely that he ends up a flex on most teams, only because there are guys with a little more upside that you'd rather have. I'd still be taking like Randall Cobb over someone like him. That's not a huge shock, but you know, when you think of the people that Jones finished in front of, you got to include the guys who were injured. Yeah, Jones is going to end up a flex on a lot of teams. I don't know if he'll ever have, you know, a week as big as he did, you know, week eight last season. I don't think I'm going to end up with him on a whole lot of teams. There are guys with more upside that I like. And we'll talk about that a little bit with the Steelers. There's just no way that I'm going to be consistently starting Marvin Jones. He's going to be great insurance, you know, if AJ Green had any sort of an injury. But, you know, when all the production comes out of one game, when, you know, a guy gets, I think it was a quarter of his fantasy points out of 1 week, I'm a little suspicious as to whether or not he's going to be good. I know he did solid down the stretch, but, you know, I think I tend to go kind of boom or bust for my flex positions, and it usually ends up working out for me. So Jones will be someone I keep for safety. I think he's going to work out, you know, to be a fine add for teams, but people are going to jump the gun. They're going to overdraft him. I think him and Andy Dalton are going to be overdrafted. I don't think they're going to bring the type of value the teams are looking for. So I personally probably won't be grabbing him where he's going to fall. We're going to move away from the Bengals now. We're going to go to Pittsburgh. We're going to take a look at the Steelers here. Some of the biggest things we're talking about with the Steelers is obviously Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown finished last season sixth overall. And the biggest thing we want to know is, can he repeat that kind of success? So, you know, six overall. I think I'm going to name off the top of my head the guys that finished in front of him. I think it was Marshall, Johnson, Gordon, AJ Green, and Demaryius Thomas. So Antonio Brown is in some good company up there at the top of the wide receiver list. When you look at some of the people that finished around him at wide receiver, I see some names that are probably going to move out of the top 10. When I look at Eric Decker, I think he's going to do great for the Jets. I don't know if he's going to be a top 10 guy because he was eighth last season. We look at DeSean Jackson. He's another top 10 guy. He was number 10. I think his production is going to go down a little bit as well. I don't think Jeffrey's going to eat into Marshall. I think, you know, obviously Josh Gordon isn't going to be a top 10 wide receiver this season. So it's pretty safe to place Antonio Brown as a legitimate wide receiver one. It wasn't initially what I thought when I started, researching him. I didn't think I'd have him in that number one, you know, wide receiver category. Turns out he's a pretty solid add when you're going running back in the first round. You know, maybe if you get one of those early picks, you get Adrian Peterson, maybe in the second or third slot if he's falling that deep in leagues. And then you can swing back and grab a good talent like Antonio Brown, something like that. I don't remember exactly how drafts are shaking out for me, but Antonio Brown is going to be one of those guys that's going to be, you know, falling to teams, and he's going to be a good setup with, a strong running back. Everyone talks about draft strategy, and again, I'm going to do a bunch of episodes on that, but you really have to land your first two picks. He's got a solid quarterback in Roethlisberger. He's got a good running game with Le'Veon Bell. Antonio Brown is going to do his thing for fantasy owners. I think just by, you know, where he's falling in drafts, he's going to be part of a lot of big teams. So we were just talking about the running game for the Steelers, and the next question we're going to talk about is Le'Veon Bell a top 10 running back? Obviously, we all know Bell missed the first three games last season. However, just how we were talking about how you got to hit those first picks, Le'Veon Bell is about as close to a sure thing as you get outside of the top three or four running backs, if you're including Forte in there, which I would. There's questions with Lacy. Is he, you know, how many carries is he going to get with Aaron Rodgers healthy? There's, it turns out, a whole lot of questions about Zach Stacy and whether or not Trey Mason, has the chance to actually take his job. Or, we hear a lot of positive things, but then they come out with all this. There's a little bit of safety assurance in knowing that Bell is, you know, the guy that the Steelers are really committed to. I don't think he's a top 10 running back. I think he's a top 5 running back. Le'Veon Bell, he's one of those guys. He's good on every down. We know that the Steelers added LeGarrette Blount, he's someone I have a little fantasy crush on going, you know, way back when I picked him up when he first started playing with the Buccaneers. We know they added Dre Archer through the draft. Those are complementary guys. We know, you know, Blount isn't going to be doing a whole lot of, receiving for the Steelers just because that's, you know, another thing that Bell is good at. We know Dre Archer isn't going to be taking away too many looks because he really is a smaller guy that you're not going to stick between the tackles. He's, you know, maybe someone that goes out, you know, plays a little receiver every now and then, maybe takes a couple carries out of the backfield. Le'Veon Bell, again, another one of those things, just like Antonio Brown. When I was looking at this, I didn't think that he would, you know, that I'd be quite so high on him. Le'Veon Bell, I think, you could really make a strong case for him being the fifth running back coming off the board in drafts. While we're talking about the offense, that's where we're going to stay for the third question for the Steelers. So we're going to finish off the Pittsburgh Steelers with, is Marcus Wheaton one of this season's best sleepers? So a lot is being made about, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson of Minnesota. I know I've mentioned him a lot, but, he's one of the most popular, quote-unquote, sleepers, despite the fact that he's going, you know, in early to mid-rounds of drafts, depending on, you know, how deep your league is. So I don't consider Patterson a legitimate sleeper anymore. A sleeper is someone you're drafting to be on your bench who, you know, has a real shot to be like a wide receiver 2 or 1. And in this case, he really is one of the season's top guys. When you look at his stats from last season, he didn't really do that much. He didn't have, you know, a ton of points. But This is really about looking at the situation. So the Steelers lost Emmanuel Sanders and Jericho Cotchery. Sanders is, you know, obviously with the Broncos now. Cotchery is now part of that rebuilt aerial attack for Cam Newton and the Panthers. So the opportunity is certainly there for Marcus Wheaton. And it's not just, you know, his skill set. You know, he was a third round pick a year ago, ran a 4.440. You know, it's not just the fact that he's, you know, one of those faster guys out on the field. He moves a lot quicker than his 40 time says. But, you know, even when you look at what, you know, the Steelers and Mike Tomlin are saying about him, Tomlin was quoted as saying, it's tough to play wide receiver with broken fingers. That was, you know, him talking about last season. But he said this to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I look forward to him taking a significant step for us. I know that we need him too. This is Mike Tomlin basically saying to his player, you're going to play a big role for us this season, or you're not going to be doing too much of anything. I think Wheaton will step up to the call. Again, third round pick. He's a talented enough wide receiver. He's playing across from Antonio Brown, so we know he's not going to be seeing a whole lot of number one corner coverage. He's, you know, when Joe Hayden takes the field for the Browns, you know, he's not going to be lining across from Wheaton. He's going to be lining across from Brown. So Wheaton has a pretty decent shot to be, you know, one of the better sleepers this season. Also, if you follow NFL Around the League on Twitter, they're doing their Making the Leap series, which is essentially, you know, for fantasy football owners, a good place to kind of pluck sleepers. I was so happy when they looked at Wheaton. He's going to be one of the guys that is going to step up. He's going to have some amazing weeks out there because of his speed and his playmaking ability. It can't be overlooked that Ben Roethlisberger is one of the better quarterbacks in the league, you know, for NFL standards, maybe not in fantasy. He's, you know, he's reliable. He's going to be able to get Wheaton the ball. He's going to be able to get Brown the ball. He's saying Heath Miller looks better. The Steelers are, you know, really going to be a team that kind of puts together a lot of, you know, fantasy players that you're going to be able to get value all throughout the draft. Again, I've been ending up with Wheaton in a lot of drafts. He's one of those guys that I've been taking late. Every time I grab him, I'm so happy. Even if it's just mock season now, I'm happy that I'm seeing Marcus Wheaton at the end of drafts. That's all we got for the Steelers. So right now, we're going to move on to the last team in the AFC North. Maybe, you know, the most entertaining, for lack of a better word, teams in the NFL this offseason, the Cleveland Browns. They made a whole lot of news when they hired Mike Pettine as their new head coach, the former Bills and Jets defensive coordinator. You know, there was the huge, you know, the revolving door in the front office in Cleveland. You know, they couldn't seem to get their act together for a while, and a whole lot of people from, you know, Josh McDaniels to Darrell Bevell were, you know, withdrawing their name for consideration, you know, as their head coach. However, it seems like the Browns, you know, aside from the whole deal with Josh Gordon, they seem to have really righted the ship. They got Pettine. He's a great coach. Again, he was the Bills defensive coordinator, and they had a pretty great defense last season, you know, a lot better than what people thought they were going to do. He was the coordinator, you know, under Rex Ryan, and there was the whole news that broke early on Thursday about, you know, Tom Brady saying that the Patriots had one of the playbooks, and there's a little war of words going on between Rex Ryan and Mike Pettine now, and, you know, all that, you know, put aside, Pettine's a great coach. He's kind of exactly the guy that the Browns needed. I'm pretty happy that they ended up with him. But getting off that, we're going to look at the three questions facing the Browns from fantasy owners. First one, with Josh Gordon out, does any Browns quarterback matter? Now, we know Gordon's going to be suspended. We know he's appealing it. There's still going to be something. You know, he's not just going to miss two games like last season. This is, if he plays at all in the season, it's, you know, probably going to be from week 8, you know, a little later than that. He's going to be facing a big suspension. So the answer to this is yes and no. If Johnny Manziel is starting for the Browns, which I know a lot of fans in Cleveland want, there could be a Browns quarterback that you'd like for fantasy. You know, obviously in a dynasty, I'm going to be all over Manziel. He's, you know, he's an electric player. You just like rooting for him. But I think if it's Hoyer at quarterback, he's one of these kind of pocket passers. We know he's tough and he likes to run outside the pocket sometimes. I feel bad for Brian Hoyer. I think he did a great job for the Browns last season when he was in. I think, you know, he got injured at an inopportune time, and, you know, he was really electric. He kind of was able to right the ship on that offense. Everything looked like it was clicking right until the point he got injured. You know, and then Whedon and Jason Campbell got their shot again, and it was, you know, kind of a revolving, you know, starter for the Browns. I hope Hoyer ends up with another team. I think this season he's not going to matter for the Browns. Obviously, two quarterback leagues, every quarterback matters, but, you know, I'm happy to have him because I think he was a great football player, but for fantasy purposes, I would take someone else with a little more value. Again, I look at the, you know, the receivers in Cleveland, and I'm kind of underwhelmed. We know they added Miles Austin, but they, you know, there was a lot of controversy because they, once they knew that something was going to happen to Josh Gordon, they didn't, you know, address the need in the draft. So, again, yeah, Johnny Manziel with the rushing. We know Kyle Shanahan, the offensive coordinator, can do something with a rookie quarterback like he did with RG3. But again, I'm taking Manziel in dynasty leagues. I'm staying away, in redraft leagues this season from any Browns quarterback. Again, we'll get into draft strategy later, but yeah, no Browns quarterback on my roster. However, there is a Browns player that I'm definitely going to end up with on a lot of teams. It's going to be our second question. Is the Terrence West hype real? I think Terrence West has a legitimate shot to be the starting running back for the Cleveland Browns this season. You know, there's a whole lot of talk, you know, a little back and forth between him and Ben Tate. You know, everybody knows Ben Tate said, you know, there's nobody in that room, in the running back room. There's nobody in that room that scares me. Said I'm just being honest. And, you know, kind of West came back a little, you know, later saying, I want to be the starter. I'm going to practice like a starter. So we know West has, you know, aspirations to start. When I've been talking this in mock draft lobbies with, you know, other people who are drafting now, so we know they're, you know, hardcore fantasy owners, you know, people have kind of been going crazy. They're saying, oh, you know, the Browns gave this huge deal to Tate. You know, he's going to start. He's going to get all the carries. West has looked pretty good so far, you know, through, you know, everybody looks good in rookie minicamp. Again, it's always bigger news if they say someone doesn't look good. But West has showed, you know, a lot of burst. He's got that high step. He's got a quick first move. He's been staying low to the ground. He's kind of, you know, he's been exploding when he has the ball. I think, aside from the fact that I think he's going to be starting, he provides better value in drafts than Ben Tate does. You know, obviously people are really banking on Tate to have, you know, the career that they always thought he was going to have when he was with the Texans until Arian Foster really, you know, came to flourish in that offense. Now people are saying, well, Tate finally has his opportunity. He's not going to let it go. When he says he's not scared of anybody in that room, I get a little nervous for Ben Tate. I think Terrence West, you know, he's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder because Tate said that. I don't know if he's going to start week one. Maybe they're still going to have Ben Tate starting. There's definitely going to be some sort of a big-time split between the two backs, though. And I'd rather have Terrence West because he's, you know, going undrafted in most drafts. Certainly, if you're one of those people that's ending up with Ben Tate, I would draft Terrence West. He's, you know, one of those underrated handcuff guys that, you know, I just enjoy owning. Although I do think there's going to be a time this season where Terrence West is going to be starting for the Browns. We know they have Alex Mack and Joe Thomas on that offensive line, so they'll open up some holes. Yeah, West is providing better value than Tate. You know, you can mark it down, you know, when West is leading people into the playoffs, when he's given, you know, those key performances late in the season, you can go back and say, hey, you know, the Fantasy Four saw this coming. And, you know, brag a little bit to friends. You know, you'll be winning those leagues anyway if you're listening to me, so you know, why not let them know where you get the help from? We're going to look at the last thing for the Browns. The last question we're going to talk about for the AFC North is, how is the Browns defense special teams unit going to finish this season? You know, it's rare we spend a lot of time, you know, on these one units. You know, people are going to reach for the Seahawks, and, you know, it's really almost a pick 'em as to what other defenses are going to get grabbed. You can make the case for a lot of them this season. You know, you can make the case for the Saints defense because they added Bird. You can talk about the Vikings defense, which I wish I would have talked about in the episode where I covered them. I'm sure I'll get back to that, though. And the Browns D, they are really going to be someone that's going to improve greatly from last season. Obviously, they added, Barkevious Mingo last year in the draft. He's kind of their developing pass rusher. He's someone they're really kind of depending on. But when you look at the Browns, under Chudzinski, who is an offensive-minded guy, their defense still finished 13th in the rankings. They had 107 points in standard scoring. And, you know, Pedden coming in, he's, you know, one of those defensive geniuses. He's one of those Rex Ryan disciples that's really, you know, they're, you know, these guys are going to start to be all over the league soon. I think, you know, they let TJ Ward go, but they added Dante Whitner. I'm a huge fan of Whitner. He's a big hitter. Just like Ward was, I think he's a little better in coverage than Ward. You know, he obviously has a little more experience playing at a high level. I mentioned Joe Haden earlier, even when I was talking about the Steelers. You know, Haden is one of those lockdown corners. Obviously we saw Antonio Brown burn him a couple of times, but Haden gave, you know, owners solid production week in and week out. Anyone who had the Browns defense. Mentioned Mingo. Paul Kruger, who they brought in from the Ravens, he was solid last season. They added Carlos Dansby this offseason. They drafted Justin Gilbert. They drafted Pierre Desir. That's, certainly one of the underrated guys. They're probably going to have Tashawn Gibson starting at the other safety spot. This is going to be a solid defense. You know, you're not really going to be able to run on them too much. Their defensive line was one of the better units in the league. Their linebacking core, they're fast, you know. They're really going to get at the quarterback this season if Mingo develops like everyone imagines he will. Justin Gilbert isn't going to have to take on number one receivers, and he's like Haden. He's one of these, you know, kind of physical man-to-man corners, you know, lock you down. Depending on, you know, how quick he develops, they can really have, you know, a pretty solid defense over in Cleveland. And Desir, he's another one of those guys. He was from a small school, but I think, you know, he's going to really make some waves in the NFL. He's going to be I don't know exactly what they're going to do with him. They're probably going to keep him a corner. Maybe if they move him to safety, who knows what'll happen. I'm sure Pedden will find a way to use him. You know, he's got, you know, one of those brilliant defensive minds. And I think one of the things that we're overlooking when we talk about these teams is we don't talk about the special teams enough. You know, there's no one like Devin Hester in his prime out in the league right now. That's, you know, one of the reasons people are going to jump on the Falcons defensive special teams unit, because they got Hester. You're trying to get those return points. But if we remember, if we go back to week 5, Travis Benjamin, he's the punt returner for the Browns. He had 179 yards and a touchdown. He was absolutely electric. You know, he was quick. You know, you blinked and you missed him running down the sideline. I think the 179 yards broke the previous record for either the Browns, possibly even the NFL, for punt return yardage in a single game. Benjamin, he's still rehabbing from a torn ACL, but, you know, he'll be back on the field, the season. And it's one of those things where you just look at it and you say, well, this is a solid defense. They have a great punt returner. They're not going to give up position too much on the field. So some of these punts are really, you know, they're going to have a lot of room to be run out. Again, you know, with the defense, I'm typically not reaching to grab the Seahawks. By the time I think of grabbing them, turns out they've always gone like a round or two before the idea comes to me. So people are really going crazy about the Seahawks this season, as they should. But, you know, the Browns, the Jets, the Saints, again, I can make the case for the Falcons. You can make the case for the Vikings, the Packers that added Peppers. You can look all over the league and you can make a case for some of these defenses. I personally like the Browns just because they have, you know, that good defensive backfield. They have that solid pass rusher. It'd be, you know, no stretch of the imagination to see the Browns finishing, you know, in the top 5 for a defensive unit this season. All right, it looks like that's going to do it for this episode of the Fantasy Force podcast. If there's any questions I didn't ask that you want answered, you can always get at me on Twitter @TheFantasyForce. You can comment when I post it on the website, thefantasyforce.com. Also, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You type in the Fantasy Force podcast in the search bar. We're also on Stitcher as well. And make sure you're sharing this with people, you know, anybody you're in fantasy leagues with, let them know about the Fantasy Forest, let your coworkers know, let your family know, tell your boys, tell your girls, you know, really give everybody a chance to eat this fantasy football season, because I don't want you to just be a factor, I want you to be a force. So get out there, everybody, enjoy your weekend.